listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Today we're going to talk about treasure. Everybody say treasure. It's very difficult for me as a pastor to talk about money. I'm going to tell you why. Because one of the biggest things people think about church is that church just wants my money, right? That's what everybody thinks about churches anyway. And so it's very difficult for me as a pastor to get up and say, all right, today we're going to be talking about finances, because right off the bat, there are some of you that went ahead and tuned me out just then. I'm going to ask everybody, tune me back in. I need everybody to pay attention to me today. I gave you sugar to keep you awake. Pastor Marcus said he ate 8 of those little Reese's cups, so he better stay awake today. Of course, towards the end of the message, he'll be having a sugar crash, and he'll be falling apart on me. But today, we're going to talk about finances, and so my challenge today for myself is to be able to talk about finances in such a way that it's not me begging for money. I don't like preachers getting up and begging for money either. There's plenty of times I'm watching TV and I think, man, this is a really good message. This dude's really, really killing it right now. And then all of a sudden, they start begging for money and I will change the channel. And so I don't want to come across as begging for money today, but I do want to come across as helping you and helping me, because there are parts of our finances that we need help with. One of the biggest problems with Christmas time is we will go out and blow all of our money. Right? We don't think about finances until January when the Visa bill comes in. And all of a sudden you're like, oh God, can the church help me? I want to try and head that off right now. I want to try and help you help me. All right? So today we're going to be talking about finances and a few of the things that Jesus says about finances. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. This is where we're going to start. And we just heard the comedian talking about the three wise men, and they're going and they said, let us bring him silver and gold, right? And that was funny. But let's look at what actually happened. The Bible says this: on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Listen to this. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Can I tell you today, they didn't walk in with just a coin and a little bit of frankincense and a little bit of myrrh. They walked in to Jesus. And I don't know what treasures was, but when I think of treasures, I think of pirate treasures, right? Big old boxes. I have a feeling they walked in a big old box, set it down, opened that bad boy up. And they just begin to say, whatever you need, we got it. Whatever you want, it's right here. I'm not holding anything back. I'm opening up all of my treasures to you. And they gave him from their treasures gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I think that's really important to where we are today, because Jesus later on in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, says this. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so today, if you think right off the bat, well, he's talking about money. No. I'm not talking about money as much as I'm talking about your heart, as much as I'm talking about your treasure, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's where you are. All you got to do is go look at your finances. And we'll talk about this part a little bit next week. But all you got to do is go track your finances. Go to the bank. If you don't have online banking, go to the bank and ask them to print you out a report of all your spending for the past 6 months. And just go through with a highlighter and see where you've spent your money. One time, this is really getting to a story for next week, but I'll just say it again next week. Y'all probably won't remember it anyway. So one time I went through and I did that on my stuff. I looked through my banking. You know what I found? I found that my wife and I had eaten out at, like, let's say McDonald's or any kind of fast food restaurant. I highlighted every fast food restaurant on my banking. We had spent 1 month over $600 on fast food. That was a time when I wasn't making enough money to spend $600 on anything. But that's what we had done. Now, what had happened to us? We were bad with our money, apparently, at that time. We looked at that and we said, man, this is a big, huge mistake. And you start looking at where you put your money, and you'll figure out what's really important to you. I promise you that. You'll figure out what's important to you. So today, we're going to be talking about the heart, and we're going to do 3 sermons on money. Okay, and this week we're going to be talking about the tithe. Next week we're going to be talking about budgeting. And the next week we're going to be talking about worry. All right, so three different messages on money, but today we're going to talk about tithing. And I want to start off by just saying tithing is a big part of my life. I would never get up here and preach something to you that I either A, don't already do, or B, need to start doing. I'm going to preach whatever God's speaking to me about me most of the time. And so today, this is something that I already do. I love to tithe. I absolutely love it. It's a priority in my family. Whenever we make out our budget, tithing is the first thing on there. As a matter of fact, it's such a priority to my wife and I that we go into our online banking and we have the bank send the check to the church at the first of the month before we can ever touch it. There's a reason. Whenever I was a children's pastor one time, I don't know if y'all noticed this about children's pastors, but I want you to look around the room right now and find the children's pastor. Why can't you see the children's pastor? Because they're in the children's room, right? That was a trick question. Y'all sound like, what? When I was a children's pastor, I wasn't in the morning service. And I started noticing when I was trying to write out my checks for tithe, I would miss a week here and there because I wasn't ever in the service. I was always back with the kids. And so my wife and I decided it is so important to us that we tithe that we will never ever miss another tithe check. And so we just set up online banking. So right now, every month, Lisa gets a check in the mail, and it's from me. I mean, it would be easy for me just to write it and walk around the office and give it to her. But it comes in the mail every month because it's important to where Perry and I live. Tithing, in my opinion, has been a key part of God blessing us. Now, look, we don't make a lot of money. We're a middle-class family, just like most people are. I mean, we're nothing special. But we have everything that we need every month. We've taken pay cuts. We've increased and decreased in salaries. We've seen different things happen to us. This year, something new for us is daycare. We haven't had to pay daycare in ever. We've never paid for daycare. This year, we started paying daycare. I write a check every month for $729 for daycare. Now look, whenever you've never paid daycare before, $729 is a lot of money. But can I tell you something? For some reason, we still have a little bit of money left over at the end of the month. I don't know how, because that wasn't in our budget. But God just blesses us. Why? I think it's because we're obedient in the tithe. That's what I personally think. My parents are the ones that started me on this path. And so I want to encourage you, if you're a parent, start your kids understanding what the tithe is, understanding giving, understanding money at an early age. Because I've been tithing since I was little. Since I got money, I've started tithing. And that's just something my parents instilled in me. I remember my parents telling me the stories of whenever they were younger and they were dirt poor. When my parents first met, they were in college and they got married while they were in college and they had my brother while they were in college. Now, that is not the plan. I'm just going to tell you, my kids will not do that. But that's what my parents did, and because of that, it strung out their college careers because my dad was having to work a couple of jobs. At some points, he was working two or three shifts. I mean, it was like he would work for 24 hours sometimes. He was going crazy just trying to make enough for the family to make it. And I remember when they first got into the ministry, when they had my brother that he was little, my parents telling me the story that I think they were making, I'm wanting to say it was either $50 or $100 a week. Is all the money they were making. And they really felt like they needed to be making $200 a week. That's just, I mean, they felt like, hey, if we can make $200 a week, that would really be good for us. We can make it on $200 a week. And so they began to tithe on $200 a week that they weren't making. And all of a sudden, I can't remember if they either got a pay raise or they ended up moving to a different place. And they moved and they got a job and the job paid them $200 a week. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because there's something about being obedient to God's word. There's something about you doing what the Bible says despite your natural instinct of holding on to stuff. Whenever we can learn to allow God to do what he wants to do, I believe God can bless each and every one of us. So today, we're going to be talking about the tithe. I believe in it. I love it. And so that's what we're going to do. But first, let me get into a couple of myths. Let me tell you a couple of myths before we get in the Word. Now, in just a little bit, we're going to get into Luke 15. But right now, let me give you a couple of myths. Number one, the myth is that Christians, on biblical finance, the myth is Christians should be poor. Right? Have y'all ever heard this concept that you should never need money? You should just be poor. All Christians should be poor and they should live in poverty. Can I tell you something? That is what we like to call in the church world stupid. There is nowhere in the Bible that says you should be poor. The Bible does say you should be content. Paul says, I've been content when I didn't have anything. And I was content when I had everything. He said, I can be content. Look, you and I may not all be rich according to what the world says is rich or according to what we think is rich, but we can be content wherever we are. The problem is whenever people think they're supposed to be poor or think they're supposed to be rich, then they begin to pursue money as opposed to pursuing God. So we need to learn to be content at whatever level we're at. It doesn't mean you don't stop, you don't try for better. It doesn't mean you don't try to get a promotion and you don't work hard. I'm not saying that at all. It also doesn't mean you don't just be content with nothing and just begging for money. That you don't need to be content there like that. But you need to be content at the station in life that you're at. You need to be content with where you are, because if you're not content, God can't bless you. That's the bottom line. God can't bless people that aren't content. Number two myth is tithe is only for the Old Testament. Y'all ever heard that one before? In studying the tithe, I've read different people, and I'm going to be honest with you. People I respect, people I look to a lot and get a lot of biblical thoughts and spiritual thoughts, and even those people say the tithe is just an Old Testament concept that the church shouldn't use nowadays. So everybody, I'm not talking about, just wackos out there. Everybody has a different opinion on tithe. And most people are going to say that disagree with the tithe. They're going to say it's only for the Old Testament. That's a myth. Let me tell you the truth. The truth is the tithe was around before the law was given. When you think of Old Testament, see, we think of just the first few books of the Bible, but really the Old Testament is the law. It's the old covenant, the old way of doing things, but the tithe was before that ever came. See, the tithe was with Abraham. The law was Moses. The tithe was Abraham. Abraham went, and Abraham, the Bible says he won a battle. He took 10% of all the spoils and gave them to Melchizedek, the high priest, the king of Salem, which means peace. He gave him 10%, and that started a concept that continued on. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Abraham was so wealthy that the other nations, the other people around him, envied his wealth. Then the Bible says that his kids, because they continued the same process of tithing, his kids were so wealthy that other people were jealous of them. Now, that doesn't sound to me like God wants us to be in poverty. I'm just saying that's not what it sounds like to me. Maybe you'll find in the Bible where we're supposed to be poor, but it sounds to me like the world was jealous of the godly people instead of the other way around. See, where we find ourselves a lot of times is I'll find myself watching HGTV or whatever when they do that Million Dollar Rooms. You ever seen that show? Holy smokes. I saw one time when these people had a two-story kitchen. Yeah, just the kitchen was two stories. And they had a slide going down to the bottom floor. I'm going to tell you right now, if God ever blesses me with a lot of, that's probably why God won't give me a lot of money, because he knows I'd be putting a slide in my house. I'd break my neck. It was just so cool. So cool. But we start looking at all this stuff and we start desiring more and more stuff. God says we need to be blessed so that other people look at us. Amen? Here's another thing that you need to think about when it says that about, people say that about it being Old Testament. Matthew 23:23, that's an easy one to remember. Jesus even speaks of the tithe. Jesus says this, listen, you Pharisees and you hypocrites, you focus so much on tithing on the little bittiest things that you get, right? Let's read it. It says, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Now, right there, some people stop and they say, look, Jesus doesn't believe in the tithe. Wrong. Look what it says. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. In other words, Jesus says, you need to worry about the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness without neglecting the tithe. Yep. And he's even saying they tithe on even the smallest things. Not just gold and silver. They tithe on spices and mints. Someone gives you a bag of mints, don't bring me 10% of them. You don't have to do that part, in my opinion. What he's saying there is tithe is very, very important. Don't neglect the tithe. That's Jesus talking. That's New Testament right there. So here's another myth. Myth is that tithe is any amount of money. Well, that right off the bat is what I like to call dumb. Because tithe means 10. So you can't say, I had somebody come up to me one time and they said, Pastor Gabriel, you've been talking about tithing and I just want you to know, I've been tithing, but I only tithe 7%. Because that's all I just tithe 7%, I don't tithe 10%. And I said, well, partner, that goes against the English language. You can't do that. Tithe means 10. If you're tithing less than 10%, you're just giving an offering. If you're tithing more than 10%, you're just giving an offering, right? My parents tithing on what they wanted to make, you know, that was good. That's a good concept. But if you came to me and you said, I'm paying tithe, and here's 20% of my income, I'm not going to turn it back to you. But what I'm going to say is, I'm going to say, well, 10% of that is tithe. The other 10% is just an offering. That's just a blessing. Well, why does that matter? It matters because we need to understand what the tithe is. We need to understand that it means something. It's special, right? Here's another myth. Another myth says that if I win money gambling, I can't tithe on it. I'm going to tell you right now, you can tithe on gambling money. It's 30% tithe. It's okay. 10% tithe, 20% offering. That's just what you got to do. We were talking the other day. We said, what would you do? We're sitting at the gym. We're saying, what would you do if you won the 500 million, whatever it was? And I said, well, you know, right off the bat, I'm going to pay tithe on that. And they're like, really? You give it to the church? I'm like, heck yeah, I'd give it to the church. And then I'd buy me a camel or something. No, I'm just saying, I wouldn't do it. So it's one of those things we need to understand. There are lots of myths in the Bible, lots of misunderstandings in the Bible about money, but it's something that Jesus liked to talk about. And every so often, he would hit people with that. Why? Because money is such an important part of life to most of us. All right? Let's look at it, all joking aside, let's look at Luke chapter 15. And I want to talk about a couple of things here in Luke chapter 15, and then we'll move on to a couple practical thoughts, and then we'll be done today. But look at verse 8. Now, this is right in the middle of three parables Jesus is telling. Boom, boom, boom. He's preaching a series here on being lost. And in the middle of his second sermon is this. Verse 8 of chapter 15, he says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. All right, now I want you to look at this because there's a couple of things I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture, okay? Number one thing I want you to notice is the word light, okay? The woman lights a light, lights a lamp. She turns on the light bulb. Now, in the Bible, the word light a lot of times means revelation, right? Understanding. You can see, you can be in a room with something that's already there, that's been there for 100 years. But if there's no light, you won't see it. But you turn on the light, boom, it appears. Did it come out of nowhere? No, it didn't come out of nowhere. It was always there. We just weren't able to see it because it wasn't revealed to us. Okay? So here's the understanding here. The Bible in Ephesians 1:17 says that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal something to us out of the Word of God. Now, if you're looking at this, there's three characters in the three stories. In the first story, you've got a shepherd who loses one sheep, right? The shepherd loses one sheep. In the second story, you've got a woman who loses one coin. And in the third story, you've got a father who loses one son. Okay? So let's figure out who all these people are. The shepherd is Jesus, right? Why do we know that? Because he calls himself, I am the good shepherd. The father, that should be easy, that's God the Father. So who is the woman? Is the woman the Holy Spirit? No. The Holy Spirit is the light, right? Because we said the light is revelation. He is the Spirit of revelation. So we've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the three stories, but we still don't know who the woman is. Throughout the Bible, when a woman is mentioned, especially in the New Testament, the woman is the bride of Christ. That means us, the church. So the church gets the Holy Spirit to help her find the one lost coin. Here's another thing I want you to look at as far as Revelation goes. You need to look at this thought. In the first story, the shepherd loses one sheep out of how many? 100. In the last story, the father loses one son. Now, we know he had two sons. We understand he had two sons. But really, the story has nothing to do with the other son until the end. It's really about the one son. The whole story is about the one son. So he loses one out of one son. But in the second story, she loses one coin out of how many? 10. What are the percentages there? You got a 1%, a 10%, 100%. 1%, how many percent? What does tithe mean? 10. 10%, 100%. I want you to think about this. There's a concept here we need to understand. Let me get back to the word revelation before I move on to the next part. The word revelation here is important for you to understand. I don't ever want you to give tithe. I don't want you to give tithe or offerings. The Bible says never do it out of compulsion. Never do it because someone is berating you. Never do it because someone is prodding you to do it. Always do it out of a cheerful heart. And always do it because it is in you to do, right? Now look, I don't want you to pay tithe because it is a law, because it's not a law. I don't want you to pay tithe because I'm telling you to, or because I'm going to say the church is going under if you don't. Never pay tithe for that reason. As a matter of fact, if you don't get the revelation, the understanding of the tithe today, don't pay tithe. Just give your offerings, however you've been doing it. But if you get it, what you need is you need a revelation. You need something revealed to you that becomes a part of who you are. I'm going to tell you, for Perry and I, the tithe is a part of who we are. It's just something we do. If you took away all of our money, we would find a way to pay tithe. It's one of those things for us. It's probably kind of silly, but she and I will pay tithe off of birthday money and Christmas money. And people, we did a thing the other day, Pastor Appreciation. You guys gave us a little bit of money. We turned around and paid tithe on it. Why? Because it's just who we are. We love to do that. Why? Because it's been revealed to us. It's something the Holy Spirit has shown us as a part of our life. So that's what we need today to ask God for. Holy Spirit, reveal to me this concept so that it's a part of me, not something I'm doing out of compulsion. The next thing I want you to notice is the process. So you got to have revelation, and then you got to have process. And that's something I want you to see. There's a difference between being a sheep and being a son, right? In the first story, you've got a sheep. What are sheep? Sheep are inherently dumb, right? They need someone to lead them around and show them where to go. Now, whenever we first get saved, whenever we've got the son, Jesus, the shepherd, whenever he saves us, we don't really know what we're doing. Right? We just, I'll do whatever y'all tell me to do. I'll read my Bible or pray, whatever. We're like sheep. But that's not where God wants us to be. That's just a starting point. God wants us to be sons and daughters, like the third story. In the third story, the son gets a ring, he gets sandals, he gets a robe. Why? Because God's given him authority, given him power, given him responsibility. But there's something in between those two things that we miss sometimes, and that is that tithe. Why is that in there? It's in there because the money thing is the hardest thing for us to part with. That is, a lot of times, treasure is what separates sheep from sons. You don't believe me? Then there's a verse for us today. If we look in Mark chapter 10, verse 20, let's just look at that real quick. And I want to show you that there's a process here. And Jesus knew what he was talking about. Mark chapter 10. Let's skip back up. I'm sorry. Let's go to verse 17. Now, as he, Jesus, was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? For no one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not fraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Now look, right off the bat, this kid's saying, "I've done everything I'm supposed to do to be a good Christian boy. I'm a sheep. I am a great sheep." Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack." In other words, he's saying, look, there's one thing keeping you from being a son. There's one thing from completing this process for you. One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. Verse 22, this is the hard part. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here's the thing. Treasure can keep us from fulfilling the process. There's a process God has each and every one of us on. And sometimes we're wondering, man, God, why am I not fulfilling my purpose? Why am I not where I want to be? Why am I not doing all the things that's in me to do? You might want to check your treasure. You might want to check your treasure. You might want to look and see, well, what is the one thing I'm missing here? Am I missing out on the tithe? Am I missing out on my treasure? Where is my treasure really? This boy said, "I want to be a Christian. I want to inherit a life. I want to follow you." And God, Jesus says, "All right, let's check your treasure." And at that point, unlike the wise men who opened up their treasures, he closed his. He said, "You can have anything else, but you can't touch this. This is mine." And he walked away sad. Jesus said, "There's just one thing you're missing. There's just one thing you're missing. You're missing the treasure part." So we've got this process, and we need to stick with it. And the thing is, money's not bad. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." It doesn't say money is bad. It says the love of money is bad. And it says that people start craving money, they start worshiping money, and all of a sudden they pierce themselves with many sorrows. I think it's so sad whenever people win millions of dollars in the lottery, and next thing you know, they're committing suicide, or there's murders. There's a big thing on the news right now about the lottery murder case. And why does that stuff happen? Because they crave something, and they pierce themselves with many sorrows. They don't know how to handle it. They worship money, and money will let you down every time. Why? Because money is nothing. God is everything. Yeah, come on. God can give you money. He can take it away from you. Money is not the issue. And what people do a lot of times is they worship money and they never fulfill the process. Look, there's preachers out there, and I hate to admit this because it's part of my world and my life, but there's plenty of preachers out there, and I've known some of them personally, that at the beginning of their preaching ministry, very powerful. People getting healed, people getting saved all over the place. Next thing you know, they begin to crave money. And now you don't really see people getting saved anymore. You don't really see anybody getting healed anymore. Nobody's getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now they're getting rich. The preacher is. But you're not really seeing the fruits of the Spirit operate. Why? Because once you start craving money, you start losing the process. You start losing the process. You can go back to being a sheep. You've got that choice. Is that preacher going to hell? I don't think that preacher's going to hell. Do they need to repent? Sure, I think they need to repent. But they're not fulfilling their purpose. True. I'm going to tell you today, you and I are not going to fulfill our purpose if we're not willing to go through the process here. The next thing I want you to notice is that it was a priority. In Luke chapter 15, the woman makes finding the tenth coin a priority. How do I know this? Because she throws everything out. She begins to turn over tables. The Bible says she lights a lamp. She sweeps the house clean. She says, everything else doesn't matter to me until I get this part right. If you want the tithe to operate in your life, if you want to get the revelation of the tithe, you need to make it a priority. That's why it's one of the, if it's not the first check, it's one of the first checks that goes out of our house. Why? Because we want it to be a priority to us. Before I spend any money, whenever you look at my budget, if I could show you my budget today, the very first line, well, the first line is income because I want to see how much money I've got. But the second line, the first spending line for me is tithe. The first spending before taxes, before house, before food, before car, before anything else. Tithe is a very first, before missions, before any other giving, tithe is the number one thing on my budget. Well, I know that doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't have to be that way. I could put it at the bottom of the budget. But I put it on there to show myself this is a priority in my life, and I've got to have this number one before anything else. Amen. What we do sometimes is we say, God, I'm going to pay my tithe. I'm going to do it this month. And my tithe, maybe you calculated up, maybe your tithe is $300. You say, I'm going to do it this month, and you start spending, right? And you know, when I get at the end of the month, I'm going to pay my tithe. And all of a sudden, you get down to the end of the month, you got $5 left. Next month, I'm going to pay my tithe. I'm going to do it. You know what? If you take that tithe out, number one, first priority, then it sets up everything else that you do.
That's right.
You may look at everything else you do and say, ooh, looks like I'm not going to McDonald's this week. But that's okay, because I've taken care of what was important. Amen? All right, let me give you a couple of practical thoughts, and then I will shut up. Four things that the tithe is going to do for you and for me. Or that it is for us. Number one, the tithe is a test. Malachi 3:10 says that you have robbed me, God speaking. You have robbed me because you haven't been paying your tithe. That's a pretty harsh word right there, God speaking. God's basically calling us a bunch of thieves if we don't pay our tithe. But then God backs it up with love and he says, but here's the thing. Test me. Pay your tithe and test me and see if I won't open up the floodgates of heaven. Test me. It's very rare in the Bible that you see permission to test God. But he does it in the tithe. He says, test me. Let me tell you something, a quick statistic on this. I posted some of this on Twitter and Facebook if you follow me. But one of the things that I was doing some research, and back in 2008, they did a survey on Christians, born-again Christians. Guess the percentage of people that actually tithe to their church. 8%. 8% of people actually tithe to their church. Now, they did a backup study to that, and they asked, how do the churches themselves, out of the money that they get, how do those churches spend that money? Did you know that 97%, on average, 97% of the money that a church gets goes right back into the church. Only 3% goes out to win souls in 2008. So in other words, while pastors are getting up berating their people on, you got to give 10%, you got to give 10%, the pastor himself, as the church, is not giving out 10%. The church itself isn't tithing. So why would a pastor ever get up and tell you to give 10% if the pastor's not willing to do the same thing? That's hypocritical. That's why one of the things we've done here is we've said, look, our finances may not be the best of all the churches in Birmingham, but we are going to do what the Bible tells us to do. And so we're giving away 10%, sometimes more than that, but we're giving away 10% of our money. We're sowing it back into the kingdom of God. We're sowing it back into church planting. We're sowing it back into missions. We're sowing it into Israel. This month we gave money to I don't know how many Jewish evangelism ministries that are reaching souls in Israel. Why are we doing that? Because it's what the Bible says the church ought to be doing. The woman is the church. So I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. Now look, does that make things tight? Could I use that extra 10%? Heck yeah, I could use that money. I would love to have that extra money here at the church. But I'm testing God. And I talked to the trustees and I told them, I said, boys and lady, I said, this is what we're going to do. I said, we're going to test God on this one. He's either going to come through or he's not. It's not going to shake my faith. It may determine whether or not I'm still getting paid by the church, but it's not going to shake my faith. So we're going to pay our tithe. We're going to pay tithe as a church on 10%. Everybody, whatever you give, 10% of it goes away. And that's just how we want to live and how we want to operate. One thing that did hurt my feelings a little bit, when it said 8% of born-again Christians tithe, they did a study last year at Pennsylvania University, said that 90% of Mormons tithe. 90% of Mormons. Something to think about whenever we start thinking we're better than Mormons. They got one thing right on us. Here's something else. Tithe is a test. It's okay for you to test God. Tithe is a sign of faith. It's a show or a sign of your faith. Whenever you tithe, whenever you give 10% off the top, what you're saying is, you're saying, God, I am trusting you at this point. Yep. Now, look, there's some folks that are so rich, it doesn't matter. They could give away. I read the other day a list of people that Bill Gates and a couple of people are doing this thing, this website where you go and give. You've got to donate at least 50% of your income to whatever any charity you want. And these people are so rich. I mean, I'm talking about billionaires. Warren Buffett says that he's, at the time of his death, 99% of his money is going to charity. 1% is staying with his family. You've got to be really rich if you can support your whole family on 1% of your income. Right? So I understand. Some people, you know, when it talks about faith, tithe isn't a faith step for some folks because they got so much money, it doesn't matter. But the rest of us that live here in Birmingham, Alabama,
come on.
You start talking about giving away 10% of everything I've got. Now we got a problem. All of a sudden, that's stepping out on faith. We've got to trust God is going to take care of the rest of us, that we're going to be able to live on 90%. That's faith sometimes, especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck. If you ain't got much money, if you're in between jobs, all of a sudden you're like, oh, Jesus, help me, right? But whenever you do it, it's faith. It's faith. Look, man, the disciples in the feeding of the 5,000 had to have faith. They gave Jesus everything they had. They didn't just give him 10%. They gave him 100%. We got 5 loaves and 7 fish. That's not a lot to feed 12 men. 5 loaves said, we'll give it all to you. And Jesus multiplied it and blessed them back. But they had to have faith to give it to him, right? So the word of God is all about faith. The third thing that tithe does for us or is for us is a sign of thankfulness. Whenever you tithe, you are telling God, I am thankful for what you've done. I am thankful for what you've done. Listen, and let me just say this on a practical sense. Tithing is 10% off the top of whatever you get, okay? When Perry and I pay tithe, we don't pay tithe on the... I always forget which one is the net and the gross anyway, because I pay tithe on whatever I get. Before taxes, I pay tithe.
Gross,
yes. I pay tithe on gross. Some people say you can pay it on the net, whatever. I don't care. I want to give it off the top. Why? Because I want to tell God, I am so thankful. I am so thankful. Yeah, but what about whenever you got a pay cut? I'm still thankful. I'm thankful it didn't get cut all the way down to nothing.
Come on, man.
I'm just thankful. What about Perry? Well, I'm thankful for her job. So whenever I give that money right off the top, it is me telling Jesus, thank you so much.
Amen.
I appreciate all you've done for me so much. I'm gonna give it to you. Whatever you want, it's yours. What am I doing? I'm coming to him. I'm opening up my treasures. I open up that treasure box and I say, well, I may not have gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? But I got 10%. You can have it. It's yours. You do whatever you want with it. It's not mine anymore. The fourth thing that tied this for us is this. Well, let me say this about thankfulness. It's like a thank you note. Y'all ever write thank you notes? Who are my thank you note writers in here? Who's always writing thank you notes? Where's Connie? Connie, raise your hand. The other day, somebody brought us lunch. I can't remember. It may have been Miss Sarah brought us lunch, or Ginger, Jack, somebody. Sarah and Ginger are always bringing food up to the office. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't be as big as I am. And y'all see how much food I get? Not much. No. These guys bring lunch up to the office. It's always wonderful. The other day, we weren't even through eating our meal, and Connie's over there writing a thank you note, telling all the boys in the office, y'all better sign it, right? Why? Because boys, we're dumb, and we never write thank you notes. But my mama was always a thank you note writer. Always. I've not developed that skill yet, but I need to. But here's the thing. Whenever you give somebody something and they give you a thank you note back, is that thank you note worth the same thing as the gift? No. But it means something to the person that did the giving. When God gives you 100% of your money and you give him 10% back, that's nothing. It's like him giving you a dollar and you giving him a dime, right? That's nothing. But it's telling God, thank you so much. It's like writing a thank you note to God. Now look, here's the thing. If somebody gives you a thank you note after you do something special for them, doesn't it make you want to do more special things for them? That's how it is with me. You give me a thank you note, I'm going to want to bless you even more. And that's what we do with God. The last thing is this. Tithe is like holiness for your money. Here's the thing. Holiness, what does holiness mean? Holiness means set apart for a purpose. When God calls Israel holy, when he calls the church holy, he's not saying they're perfect. He's saying you are set apart for my purposes. And now you are blessed because of that. Whenever we give God 10%, we're saying, God, I'm not giving you 100%, but I'm taking 10% and I'm setting it apart as holy, as blessed, as a purpose. It's going to win souls. It's going to touch lives. It's going to do something. I'm setting it apart. Here's what God does. God blesses your 90%. He makes your money holy. Why? Because you're willing to set it apart. You're willing to take some out. I did an illustration one time when I was taking up offering, and I had two donuts, right? And I brought my mom up on stage, and I had two donuts, and I took one donut, and I cut 10% of that donut out. And I told mom, I said, Mom, look, here's your option. You can have 90% of this holy donut, or you can have 100% of this donut that's not blessed, that's not holy, and I licked it. I said, now which one do you want? Guess which one she took? The blessed 90%, right? Same way with us. I'm going to be honest. I don't want 100% not blessed money. I don't want 100% of cursed money. I want 90% of blessed, holy money. Because I think God can do more with 90% of blessed than he can with 100% of cursed. We need to learn to pay our tithe. It needs to become revelation to us, not routine to us. Let me just close out with this morning. A couple of quick thoughts. Number one, you are, and I am, God's instrument of blessing on this earth. You think about it. How many people have ever said, man, God bless me. He sent me a check in the mail. Right? You ever heard that happen before? Got a check in the mail. Can I tell you something? God didn't write that check. He didn't. Somebody on earth had to write that check. If you said, man, I'm going to tell you something. The other day, I walked out and someone had given me a $100 bill. Can I tell you something? That was not God giving you a $100 bill? Like God didn't just show up in the flesh and manifest a $100 bill and give it to you. You know what it was? God moved on the heart of a person to be generous, and that person gave you $100. Did God do it? Sure, God did it, but God didn't physically come down and do it. Why? Because we are God's instrument of blessing on this earth. When you pay your tithe, you are a part of God's blessing on this earth. That money, I've already told you, that money goes out. We're able to give money away. Why? Because we are all faithful to be generous, and we understand what the tithe means. Now, I'm not preaching this morning because you're not tithing. I have no idea whether you're tithing or not. When I go through and I look at all your giving, I'm just teasing, I don't do that. I don't know if you're tithing or not. The point is, we need to have an understanding of it. God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you so that you are a blessing to other people. I'm blessing you to be a blessing. Today, you are blessed. Everyone in this room is blessed. The fact that you got here this morning means you're blessed. Amen. You had some kind of money to get you here, or some kind of friend that had some kind of money. So we're all blessed. We are blessed to be a blessing to someone else. Amen? Amen. We need to learn, though, that no matter how much we have, we may not have much. The money that woman had wasn't very much money. When I did the research on those 10 silver coins, it says it wasn't very much money at all. It says it, you know, maybe dollars, not tens of dollars, not 20s, you know, hundreds of dollars, just dollars. She didn't have very much, but she made it a priority, even in little, to give 10%. It's important for us to understand, even though you may just have 5 loaves and 2 fish, it's a priority. When you give it to Jesus, Jesus can do wonderful things with it. He can feed the multitudes with our 5 loaves and 2 fish. Amen. Why don't you all bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.